In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 7.9. Seems like an odd way to start out a sermon. So why is this number 7.9 so significant? You see, if you take this number 7.9 and then you add 8 zeros behind it, you get the current population of the entire world. 7.9 billion people. Okay, cool. We've all heard this sermon before, you know, the go and preach to all nations, to all people. But that's not the point that I'm getting at. You see, you and I struggle to walk out of church and to shake a new person's hand. And you and I struggle to go into our Wisconsin neighborhoods and reach out to people about our church. And sadly, these people that we see and interact with are only a fraction of the people of this world. Sometimes we forget how important each individual is. There is someone who knows how important we are. You see, Jesus never stops searching for the lost. He urgently searches for them, and he rejoices when they are found. Jesus in our gospel today wasn't doing something random. You see, Jesus walked around Israel teaching and preaching to its people. And we find him doing exactly that. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. And not to anyone's surprise, the Pharisees were there. And not to anyone's surprise, rather than listening to the Son of God preach, they were judging those who were listening to him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Christ made a point of teaching and preaching to everyone. He showed that he cared, even if they were sinners, to those who were rejected, outcasts, to those who were lost. And this account of the Pharisees corresponds exactly in today's terms, too, because you know that since you've been younger, you've known that the Pharisees are prideful and self-righteous, and you don't want to be like those guys because they're bad people. But even though we know this, we often fall into the trap of viewing people differently. But I mean, the Pharisees did bring up an interesting point. Why would this Jesus, a man held in high regard, be preaching and teaching to a group of people who are considered to be low in the eyes of society? But this wasn't a good thought. You can see right through their self-righteousness. They had a skewed picture of people who they considered to be lower than they were. Think back to the story of Jesus eating dinner at the house of the Pharisee. You remember the one where the adulterous woman came in and poured perfume onto his feet? What were the Pharisees' reactions to that? Wow, what a great thing this woman has done. No, what a shameful thing this woman has done. But before you can raise that critical finger and point at those men, take that finger and point it back at yourself. Am I guilty of this too? Because regardless of who you are or what you do, you and I have to deal with prejudices. Prejudices against people that aren't like you and me. You probably know someone who drives a rust bucket. You probably know someone who wears clothes that are out of style. You probably know someone who lives in a not-so-nice house in a not-so-nice neighborhood. And now take an example from the church. If a new member is welcomed into our fold, How quick are we to the back coffee counter rather than going over to that member and welcoming them? What do all of these things have in common? All of these show that we too have a skewed picture of people, and sometimes that affects others' spiritual needs. But Jesus never had this skewed picture, and he wasn't going to sit there and let the Pharisees judge those who were listening to him. So he told them two parables, one about a lost sheep and the other about a lost coin. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? Both of these parables are very similar, you see. There's a someone and a something, and the someone loses that something, and that someone goes searching for that something. Seems pretty straightforward. But like every one of Jesus' parables, there's a deeper meaning here. Take the parable of the lost sheep first. So what if he lost one sheep? He had 99 left. But put yourself in his shoes. It's your job to watch those sheep. And after counting to 100, two or three times, you find yourself being short one every time. So you leave the entire flock behind and you go over a hill, valley, rock, stream, forest, whatever it takes to find that one sheep. Now take the parable of the lost coin. Yeah, she lost one coin, still had nine left. That coin had enough value to her that she cleaned her entire house and meticulously searched every nook and cranny until she found that one coin. What does this all mean? Parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin show us that Jesus urgently searches for the lost. Even though we give up and we stop trying, Jesus never did. Jesus walked on this earth 3 years with the sole purpose of searching for the lost. And he went to the full extent for dying on the cross for the lost. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead for the lost. And Jesus also shows us that he values each and every single one of us the same. And because of his death and resurrection, now God values all of us the same. So with this mindset that Jesus never gave up and that he values each and every single one of us, what do we do with this? There are neighborhoods that are filled with faces that we have never seen and never found to be important. There are people who will move in next to you who might be on the complete opposite side of the spectrum when it comes to being religious. And there are committees here at church that do exactly that. So don't sweep all of this under a rug and hope that someone else will pick up the slack. Give up time and energy. Because if you don't do it, then who will? And when will it get done? I don't know about you, but there have been several times when I find something that's been lost for a while, and I got kind of upset that I found it. There have been several times where I'm reaching into a couch cushion looking for that remote, and I pull something up that's been missing for a good 2 or 3 months, and I say, seriously? This has been gone for this long? Brothers and sisters, Jesus is never upset when he finds the lost. Rather, he rejoices when they are found. In verse 6, we read, "Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.'" And in verse 9, we read, "And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.'" In both of these parables, the someone has found the something, and they're happy they found it. And they don't rejoice by themselves. They gather their friends, family, and neighbors to rejoice over that lost item being found. And don't we do this exact thing in church? Maybe it wasn't a full house. Maybe not every single one of your friends, family members, or neighbors could make it to your baptism or confirmation. But we rejoice knowing that what was lost has now been found. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we aren't the only ones who greatly rejoice over new believers. God rejoices too, and all of heaven rejoices with him. God is beyond ecstatic knowing that souls are found and are brought into his fold. In both of these parables, Jesus tells us that there will be rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents. So keep seeking the lost. Every single soul is precious to God. So take this to heart. You are precious to God. He found you. He brought you into his fold. And he will keep doing this till the end of time. There are plenty of lost things in this world. Lost items aren't that big of a deal. But lost souls are. So don't be discouraged when it seems like what you're saying isn't making an impact. Don't look down in despair. Keep your eyes focused on Jesus. Focus on how he treats the lost. He never stopped searching for them. And he never stops searching for you. So keep it up. Keep searching every hill, valley, nook, and cranny. Because we matter to God. Thanks be to God that he urgently searches for us. And thanks be to God that he rejoices when we are found. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.